It's a big opening Sunday in the NFL. Tonight in Dallas, Tony Romo and the Cowboys host the New York Giants. Romo thinks the home crowd will help them.
We need them to be at their best on Sunday night. And when they are, they're very tough to deal with here in Dallas. And I think that I expect that they're going to be like that on Sunday. So I think that'll help us gain a big advantage.
The other team in New York, the Jets, host the Tampa Bay Bucks. Geno Smith gets the start at quarterback for the Jets over Mark Sanchez.
Honestly, I'd love to be the franchise quarterback here. I think that's the reason why they brought me in. But like I said, I don't want to look ahead. I'm focusing on what I have here now. And that's to work hard and that's to get better and to prove my state, not to be given anything.
Another big matchup in the NFC has the Green Bay Packers visiting San Francisco. The Niners knocked the Packers out of the playoffs last year. Also, the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Chicago to take on the Bears. I'm Ed Donahue, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we went AWOL and missed the show to attend the 4th annual lamb stock at Craig Rogers' Border Springs Sheep Farm in the beautiful Blue Ridge.
Yeah, so the Border Springs Farm is this 400-acre, gorgeous, gorgeous farm. It's nestled at the bottom of the Blue Ridge in southwest Virginia. And here, all these gorgeous sheep are just baaing around on the field.
Baaing?
Baaing, isn't that what they do? And there were 35 gorgeous Great Pyrenees who were guarding those sheep. And it was just beautiful out there.
It does sound pastoral and poetic, doesn't it? Especially for a couple of city folk like us who came out there not knowing exactly what to expect. Most everyone camped out in the sheep pasture. I guess it was a clean sheep pasture.
Well, or they came with RVs.
They camped out. We wimped out. We stayed at a B&B because it was raining and there was mud and there were porta potties.
And there were porta potties. Enough said.
But we all found an incredible event that melded the best of dining on everything lamb and prepared by some of the best chefs east of the Big Muddy who came from far and wide to spend 3 days cooking and eating and sharing lamb prepared every which way, and connecting and networking with each other.
Well, we found all that and more thanks to the man they call the Shepherd, that sheep farmer Craig Rogers. He started this whole event. He brings together great chefs, mixologists, winemakers, oystermen, coffee roasters, craft brewers, and so many more, all to experience everything lamb. And this was all supported by Border Springs Farm, the folks of the American Lamb Board, and the Virginia Wine Board, who all helped make this event outstanding this year.
So to set the picture, think Woodstock. It's all draped in a Woodstock-like atmosphere of round-the-clock music. We had so much to eat and drink, the best wines that Virginia has to offer. It poured rain half the time, so it was muddy and sweaty and grungy, so it personally satisfied my Woodstock Jones, and contributed to an awesome 2 days of Border Springs lamb every which way you can imagine and lots more.
Well, and I think we should say that the festival actually went on for a couple days, but unfortunately we were only there for 2 days of it.
That's all we could stand of it.
Very well. So while we couldn't take you with us, we're going to take you to Lambstock now with the interview clips from some of the folks and a couple of real characters from the D.C. area and as far away as Alabama and Kentucky.
So of all the characters we met, the central character there is a guy named Craig Rogers. They call him the Shepherd. He's the lamb provider to the stars. He's the former head of the School of Engineering at the University of South Carolina. And when he retired, I don't know what it was, he decided to become a lamb farmer. And he cares deeply for his lambs. It's obvious by the way the lambs are treated and raised. It's what they eat and the kind of grass he plants and how they're raised. And that shows in the product that he delivers and in the level of fine dining restaurants and chefs from all over the country who demand his lamb and no other.
And Craig is such a wonderful, wonderful guy. And lamb stock was his idea with some other chefs. And we caught up with him on day two, long enough to get his side of the lamb stock story.
Well, actually, lamb stock came from, was inspired by Brian Voltaggio. He had been a customer for more than a year and had always talked about coming to the farm. And finally, one day, he called me up and said, I want to bring the entire staff to the farm. And I said, well, if you do that, I'll roast a whole lamb on a spit. And a few minutes later, he called me back and said, well, gee, if we're going to drive that far, how about if we camp out in the sheep pasture? And he invited some friends, and then I invited some friends, and the first lamb stock was born. And within 30 days of Brian deciding he was going to come to the farm, we had over 100 chefs camped out in the sheep pasture. And 4 years later, we now have a lamb stock pavilion and a stage, and bands from D.C. and Nashville and Brooklyn, and it's...
Yeah, I heard Aerosmith is coming by helicopter. Is that true or not? Or is it, wait, that was a movie I saw. Sorry, that was a movie. I get confused. All right, and so, you know, it looks to us, and we just got here a couple of hours ago, that the bottom line product here is the networking that chefs and cattle farmers and sheep farmers and farmer farmers and restaurateurs are able to do all in one spot, all with a beer or a glass of wine in hand.
Well, relationship marketing is certainly a more fun approach to being able to do sales, but really more importantly is so many chefs would love the opportunity to come to the farm and see where their food comes from and so on, but it's really hard for them, and so you have to add a little something extra.
Everybody talked about how you like to connect people, so can you talk a little bit why you feel that's so important?
Well, I guess that's kind of what shepherds do best.
And wonderful thing about tiggers. I'm sorry. Did I get lost in that?
You know, it's
that's a lot of poo.
It's yeah, that's just important to me. I'm doing this because it's fun and because I enjoy the relationships.
Talk a little bit about how the day's events go and how you foresee it as the event coordinator of everything.
So it's a little frustrating for some, and this is kind of a personal style of mine. There is almost no organization other than my dear friends Connie and Brian Littell, who do the primary organizing and bring volunteers in to help. But otherwise, you won't find a schedule for dinner or lunch or breakfast. We have no idea who shows up until they come down the driveway. Everyone always asks how many are coming and if so-and-so's coming, and I have no earthly idea. Everybody in the business is invited. And so it's that loose, and yet what you see is the greatest potluck ever conceived in a sheep pasture. There is more food than we could eat.
It's probably the only potluck conceived in a sheep pasture, let's be honest.
But, well,
and by the way, we passed right under the Welcome David and Nikki banner, so you must have known we were coming.
Well, naturally, everybody gets a personal welcome. But yeah, so it's just everybody chips in as they will. Even the musicians. The longest tradition of lamb stock is Willie and Aaron Breedings, the Breedings, mm-hmm. Who have played 4 years in a row. I met them at an event at Blackberry Farm. They just love food artisans. They love being around chefs, and there's something about musicians and chefs that just go hand in hand.
Well, because everybody's a rock star.
And then at midnight, we have a movie screen that we're going to place in front of the stage, and we are showing a sheep zombie movie in the sheep pasture.
Oh my God, that's enough to make me drink Woolite.
Okay.
So, along with the American Lamb Board, one of Lambstock's major supporters is the Virginia Wine Board, and Annette Boyd is the board's executive director. She was at Lambstock surrounded by her group of peeps and a tent full of some of Virginia's top wines, all for the tasting, including the best of the best in the Governor's Cup wines. We caught up with Annette on a muddy pasture hillside.
The Virginia Wine Board is a governor-appointed board that uses the excise taxes that Virginia wineries pay to the state to promote the Virginia wine industry in three different ways. They use the funding that comes to them from those excise taxes to for research, promotion, and education, really to further the cause of Virginia wines.
Okay. How long have you been in existence? And there's a reason I'm asking.
The Virginia Wine Board has been, in some form, has been in existence since 1984.
Okay, because isn't it generally accurate that before that, while there were Virginia, there have been Virginia wines for hundreds of years, but it's really since the early 90s that Virginia wines began to grab the attention, not just of, regionally, but around the country.
Absolutely. And really from the 1990 on, it really started to take off and gain momentum. I think we really started getting some, wind at our back.
All right. But so, you know, my wife is the foodie. I'm not. I'm the idiot on the show. But what I do know from having the folks from Terrara in and, a number of wineries, it's all about the dirt. What is it? You know, Viognier is sort of considered the standard setter for Virginia wines. Why is that, and what has the dirt got to do with it?
Well, it's not just the dirt. There's a French term called terroir.
Yeah, well, that's the dirt in English.
It's the dirt and the climate, which are hard to separate. And the Virginia climate and soil is much more similar to the climate and soil of southern France, Spain, southern Italy, which is why the grape varieties that grow really well there also tend to grow really well in Virginia. We could not be more opposite from our friends in California, Oregon, and Washington, in fact. But Viognier, which grows in the south, is originally from the south of France, is a grape that grows ridiculously well in Virginia. And we have made, the Virginia Wine Board voted for Viognier to be Virginia's grape. It's unique. It's different. It's a colleague of mine calls it Chardonnay's sexy, exotic, tropical sister. Who doesn't want some of that?
No. Get me one of those.
We've got more lamb and more wine coming your way with Lamb Stock. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast.
Come celebrate Central Farm Market's fifth anniversary season with the freshest produce, dairy, baked goods, fresh fish, meats, poultry, and specialty foods around. Enjoy music, wine tastings, cooking demos and classes, and kids' activities at two great locations, Sundays 9 to 1 in downtown Bethesda and Saturdays from 9 to 2 in North Bethesda, Rockville. Come out and see for yourself why Washingtonian and Bethesda magazines hail the markets as the best in the metro area. To learn more and sign up for the weekly e-blast, visit www.centralfarmmarkets.com. The two central locations in downtown Bethesda and North Bethesda Rockville are kid-friendly and dog-friendly, have plenty of parking, and great food. For a listing of food artisans, events, and exact addresses, check out www.centralfarmmarkets.com. That's centralfarmmarkets.com. See you this weekend.
Hi, this is Hillary Howard. Join me October 12th and 13th for the Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember. This year, we have 55 or 30-mile bike rides held at National Harbor Saturday, October 12th, and a 5K in Washington at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Sunday, October 13th. The Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember raises funds and awareness while commemorating the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers. Go to rideandruntoremember.org to register today.
We're all different, but if we all stand up as one, no one stands alone.
Won't you stand up, stand up, stand up?
One by one, we can change the world. It's up to you and me. On Monday, October 7th, let's all wear our blue shirts for World Day of Bullying Prevention.
Won't you stand up and use your voice?
Get your blue shirt at stompoutbullying.org.
Stand up.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is. This is so great.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
All in together now. We can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
Today's a good day to grab your kids and hang out with them for an hour. Dance, walk, play a sport, or cook a healthy meal. Because just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your child healthier.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll ball it up.
Because we know how to hoop.
We'll mess around.
Because we know how to play.
We'll drop it down.
Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day to keep you and your kids healthy. Remember, that's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
All right, everybody, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're going to take you back to share our weekend at Lambstock and to pick up conversation with Virginia Wine Board Executive Director Annette Boyd, whose team really, truly wowed everyone with the awesome lineup of Virginia wines they brought, and we drank all weekend long.
So in terms of the wine board's mandate, are you the ones that are really responsible? I mean, obviously the different vineyards and winemakers will all promote themselves, but is it really essentially because of you folks that there's broader knowledge about Virginia wines, which is then driving more revenue for the winemakers?
We'll take a small piece of credit for that. Actually, the biggest chunk of credit goes to the growers and to the wineries, because the product speaks for itself. And that's really the core. You know, if you have a product that does not compete on the world marketplace, then it doesn't matter how much marketing you throw at it. It's really not going to succeed. So the first and the largest chunk of credit goes to the caliber of wines that the winery, that the grapes that are being grown and the wines that are being produced in Virginia. I think that our office, the Virginia Wine Board, with in large part with the strong support from, you know, the government in Virginia, has really helped the winemakers really put a spotlight on those wines.
How many growers are there today versus back in the, let's say, the mid-'80s before it caught on? I mean, have you had a lot of folks who've come into the state, and is it sort of burgeoned that way, or is it all homegrown?
In 1980, there were six farm wineries licensed in Virginia. By 1990, I think that had grown to like 40. And, you know, today we have, over 230.
Really?
Yeah. So it's grown. We are the fifth in the number of wineries, and we are fifth in the number of wines. Texas is kind of nipping at our heels, and it's complicated, but Texas likes to say they're fifth, too, and it's kind of splitting hairs. But really,
Texas wines?
Yeah.
We tasted many wines, and really, not one failed to impress. We tried the Boxwood Rosé, a personal favorite, the King Family Meritage, the Cooper Vineyard Petit Verdot.
There was a Barbersville Octagon.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a great red from Philip Carter Winery and that Lost Mountain red. Remember?
Oh, right. And the Rendezvous red, both from RDV Vineyard.
Those were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then we caught up with David Guas at Anthony Lamas. Guas has been on the show a bunch of times. He's a Louisiana native. chef owner of the Bayou Bakery, a great little New Orleans-flavored restaurant in Arlington's Courthouse neighborhood. And Lamas, who originally hails from L.A., is taking Louisville, Kentucky's taste buds by storm. He's got a Latin-flavored seafood restaurant called Ceviche. Yes, fresh seafood in Louisville. I don't know how he does it. Let's see if he can tell us about it.
And we caught up with them as David was cooking up his signature biscuits and gravy, and Anthony was prepping his hangover cure, his pozole, for the next morning breakfast.
So, guys, let's talk a little about your restaurants, and then we'll ask all the embarrassing questions. Here we go, David.
So, yeah, we have a little neighborhood eatery of three meal periods a day, 7 days a week in the Courthouse neighborhood of Arlington. And we're here for 2013 lamb stock. This is my third year, and I'm sitting here next to a good buddy of mine, Anthony Lamas. And we used to work for the same chef, but never got the pleasure of sharing a kitchen together at the same time. And we actually reunited or met for the first time here at Lambstock a couple years back. So we're here now looking at some beautiful lamb legs and hinds. And what I love about coming to Lambstock is reuniting with people, but also sort of meeting some people for the first time.
All right.
Swapping cards, I met Diane Flint, you know, here a few years back from Foggy Ridge Cider. And a lot of just great resources here. And people just very openly sharing their love, their talents, their skill, but in a very casual setting, as you can see. And you know, we contend with Mother Nature and everything else is thrown at us.
Well, so in one sentence, how would you describe lamb stock?
One sentence. Raw.
That's a word. You got a sentence.
Well, you know, it's like Woodstock. You got the rain. You just got sort of like Woodstock with better food and booze.
It's the social in the elements, back to nature, back to, you know, what's the basics and simple preparation on phenomenal food and about showcasing. It's really about Craig here. And it, you know, he would say the opposite. You know, it's really about us or the chefs or the industry and the vendors. But this is about his lamb, man. Let me tell you, it is special. And he's got a phenomenal product. You get to see it firsthand. You're stepping on the pasture, what they're eating and everything else. So it's just fun.
Well, Anthony, let me ask you a question. A guy that owns a restaurant called Ceviche, what are you doing here among the sheep? Are you lost?
No.
Well, should I make that flipper sound?
Well, you know, it's a funny story because I'm from California originally, and that's where I work with Jeff Tunks, who David worked with as well. But I met a Southern girl there in Coronado, so I met a Kentucky girl.
Every time you meet a woman, it's trouble.
She brought me all the way back to the South, so now I'm doing Latin food in the South. But we're using ingredients like Border Springs lamb, and we're using things that are in the South. And so it's kind of was new for me to learn all these farmers and meet these people. So coming here was a chance for me to meet some of the people that I read about or some of the people that I heard about, like David. You know, I used to read his menus and stuff because I knew, you know, I used to work for Jeff Tunks, and I was like, man, this guy's part Cuban. He's got some of my blood. I love what he's doing, you know. And then we end up meeting, and I'm like, I know of you. I've been kind of following you without you knowing. Same with stalking a little bit, yeah.
Where else could you admit something like that? So tell me something, because Louisville's got a reputation. It's becoming a food mecca out there in the middle of, you know, the middle of the place.
You're right.
And how do you get fresh? I mean, is it FedEx? Is FedEx bringing you fresh fish every day? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So a lot of people don't know this story. We have the largest UPS hub is in Louisville, Kentucky. So we're able to get things, I mean, right from Honolulu. If we get some, you know, say, Wahoo or tuna, it actually drops off in Louisville, Kentucky and heads off to Chicago and these other places. So a lot of times we actually get it first, and it's true. Right. The largest UPS hub there. It was really a chance for... Yeah, there you go. It was a chance for me really to do kind of my heritage and the food that I know from California, introduce that to a town that really didn't have those flavors. So it was really kind of like a perfect timing.
Are you blowing minds? The only thing they know is horse racing, right?
No, they don't. That's what I think.
Oh, wait, they know sluggers, too. They got Louisville's...
Bourbon, most important. They know bourbon. No, but it's really sophisticated. I mean, the food scene is really, yeah, we've been getting recognized. Several chefs in there bringing, you know, different elements to the scene. And I'm just proud to be part of it. But like David said, you know, we come here, this is about the food, about the music, about the farmers, you know, about the moonshine.
I ain't seen no moonshine yet. Where's the moonshine?
It's here.
It's a celebration of our industry from the full circle. I mean, it is. You've got animals roaming, but yet we're devouring things, and there's a celebration of the product, and it's, you know, you know, we start cooking with a lot more respect for food, and this is just, it encompasses all of that all weekend long.
Totally.
From even juicing the limes, there's an assembly line of juicers right here that are hand juicing limes behind us.
Get to work.
Because we believe in fresh lime juice,
yes.
And that's why that's happening.
Right. And that's why mojo de ajo is going to be done
the right
way.
Well, let's talk about what you're making, Chef.
So I'm going to do two things with this. This actually here, I have some lamb chorizo that's made from his lamb. This is actually from Adam Music. I think, see how you say his last name?
That's correct.
He's correct. And so these are his hogs. So I'm going to throw a little bit of the hog with the lamb chorizo to make a dish called pozole, which is kind of like a peasant dish, but it makes you feel good in the morning after a long night of drinking. Breakfast, but we're actually late night.
I'll tell you, it's tradition.
Part of it's for late night tacos tonight. After dinner, we're going to get some drunk tacos.
So the pozole is knockout, but it's kind of this stew thing. I'm not even really sure. I know there was lamb in there, but I really don't know.
Oh, there was more than lamb. There was lamb, lamb leg, lamb chorizo, a lot of lime juice. I mean, there was a whole crew of people juicing lime.
It was like a conga line juicing limes.
Exactly. And hominy.
How many were in there? Thank you.
Very funny. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about all the delicious food we had at Lambstock. So this is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back with more lamb in just a bit.
The House of Mercy, a nonprofit humanitarian agency located in Manassas, has joined the network of Feed Our Vets, a national nonprofit organization with a mission to help feed jobless and underemployed U.S. veterans and their families through a network of community food pantries throughout the country. In uniting with Feed Our Vets, House of Mercy is a recognized food pantry within the organization's network, said House of Mercy Assistant Director Ann Samini. She said there are a lot of proud and food insecure veterans, which House of Mercy wishes to serve. In addition to free food, House of Mercy provides free clothing, job search training, mentoring, financial education, and referrals to those in need, Samini said. The organization also offers at low cost packages of food through Share, a nonprofit food network House of Mercy joined in January. To learn more, call House of Mercy at 703-659-1636 or visit houseofmercyva.org.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Blue is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller's sweller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. It's against my religion. I'm giving my dog a bath. You can have pictures of that. Pressure gives me hives. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. Hold on. Let me ask my mom. Sorry, my webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. Unfortunately, I just had my clothes surgically attached to my body. If they got out, I might never be president. I'm already naked, under my clothes. Not even if you were all three Jonas Brothers. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. The more you ask, the less I want to. You're not the boss of me. Nudity makes me vomit. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast talking lamb stock with you. And as much as the festival's about lamb, cattle and hogs were also well represented. Craig Rogers is very big on getting out the word on other livestock farmers who are as passionate about raising well-nurtured, well-kept animals as he is. And he's also well-known in the area for helping out farms and farmers he admires with the many chefs he respects. He likes the whole thing about lamb stock is networking everybody in the industry.
So one such farmer is a hog farmer who we met, Adam Music.
Cool guy.
It's so cool. You can find his pork products in Husk down in Charleston and Nashville and McCrady's, both Shamrock restaurants.
We're in Wythe County, Virginia, and I raise hogs on pasture and sort of our
when
specialty.
When you say pasture, pasture-raised?
Yes, they're pasture-raised. You know, depending on the season, you know, sometimes we'll finish pigs in the woods, you know, on hickory nuts, acorns, stuff like that. But kind of our main focus really is the finishing phase. When we raise them, it's farrow to finish, meaning we have a sow herd and it's piglets all the way to slaughter. You know, we like to get them over 300 pounds live weight. But what we do is, you know, we'll put them on what starts out as like a cow pasture or a hay field, and then they root that up. They're fenced in with electric fence. They will root that up and eat the roots and all that good stuff and the grass and clovers, and then we'll move them on a new ground, and then we come behind and we'll plow it and we'll disc it, and we plant different crops. For example, I've got a group of pigs that tomorrow we're putting on sunflowers, sorghum, cowpeas, and barley.
Sounds like a really good diet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nutritious. They get a normal feed ration. They get fed twice a day, but they're pastured on different crops that we grow. In the cold weather, we'll have them on turnips, rapeseed, ryegrass, different stuff like that.
So let me ask you a question. If they bump into the electric fence, do you get baked ham?
No. The fence works good, though. Yeah, it works good.
Yep. They only bump into it once, right?
So wait, yeah, I do have a question. How long does it take a hog to get to 300 pounds?
Right. So we raise purebred Berkshires.
Okay.
And we also we have a hybrid. We'll put a Berkshire boar on a Duroc Chester White sow. Uh-huh. And so those are, you know, crossbred pigs. The crossbreeds take about 8 months to get that big, and the Berkshires take about 9.
That's it?
Yep.
So how did you wind up here at Lambstock, given that it's the celebration?
Yeah, I met Craig Rogers probably, you know, 3 years ago or so, and just Craig's been a huge help to me. He really helped me get started.
He's like the master networker.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
He is a super guy, really great guy. And so he's really, really helped me come into the meat part of my business. You know, I started out raising pigs about 3.5 years ago, and Craig, he's just been a big help.
He doesn't have many customers right now, but I've seen the way that he farms.
He's got good customers.
He has excellent customers. He's starting, he's growing, And he's somebody that everybody needs to know. And when you work as hard as we do to be able to provide quality products to really great chefs, and you see somebody else who's working just as hard or harder, you can't help but to want to give them a hand. And that's kind of the agrarian lifestyle. You know, neighbors, there's no way of making it in farming without having great neighbors.
So Craig may be all about lamb, but he's no stranger to other great meats. First hogs and now beef. We met cattle farmers Bobby Weitz-Carver and his wife, Jeannie Hoffman.
What's the name of your farm?
Hoffman Farms.
All right. So tell me about what kinds of cows you're raising and how they're raised.
Well, we have a commercial cow-calf operation. I happened to marry a ninth-generation farmer.
Did you?
So I got real lucky.
Is that what you were doing? Were you a farmer as well?
No, I am a natural resource conservationist, but I got
close.
Real lucky.
And
I married real up.
Yeah.
You know?
We all married up, trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Or at least we got to say that on the radio.
Yeah, well, anyway, they raise beef cattle. I help on the farm. And
raise these all pasture-raised cattle?
Yeah. They're all,
where does everybody
they're born
stand?
On a farm, raised on a farm. And they
done
go
in on the farm?
Well, no, we sell all the calves to Pineland Farms, which is, I believe, the sole proprietor to Whole Foods.
So if Bobby's beef is at Whole Foods, you know it must be a quality product. We ask him how Hoffman Farms does all of it.
There's a lot of work to it.
Well, I mean, tell me about the work.
Well, we rotationally graze, you know, so we move them. About every week, we have two herds that move to different pastures.
Now, do they move or do they move?
They move.
I'm sorry, I had to do a cattle joke.
All you have to do is call them.
Really?
And they come right
like
in.
Like dogs? Come on, little
they
doggy.
They just come on.
Really?
You know, they come right through the gate. They got fresh pasture. Of course, you look at them. You watch them. You look for aberrant behavior. You might have a sick calf or a pink eye or something like that, and you treat it.
Then Bobby's wife, Jeannie, joined the conversation.
And she is a pistol.
She's a riot.
The cattle have their babies, and that's what they do. Mm. That's their mama cows, their brood cows.
Do you have to help, you know, because in the movies there's always some vet sticking his arm all the way up the cow. Do they just do it on their own?
Yeah, when you have to, but only if you have to. You're hoping you buy bulls and keep your cattle that are good, that will know what they're supposed to do. Your heifers, you have to watch. Your heifers never had a calf,
mm-hmm.
So they're like...
So a heifer is a new mom? I mean, a first-time mom?
Yes.
Who knew that? I didn't know.
She actually, my girlfriends and I, when we get together, right, from high school, right, and one of my girlfriends will go, heifer, heifer, cow, heifer, heifer, around the room.
Yeah, I can see me doing that to my wife. You called me a what?
Heifer's not a bad thing. But heifers have never had a baby, so they're new at it, and they don't know what's going on. They don't understand why.
So you stand over them, you say, breathe.
You watch them.
Yeah.
You do. We're up every 2 hours with our heifers. Yeah, we usually calve 20 heifers.
How many head of cattle do you have total?
120. Usually calve 120 breed cows.
Wow.
Right. So we're working it.
Wait, hold it. Little break here for the noise. All right.
We calve March, April, and May. Right. The bulls are in June, July, and August. No. And so we're only calving that particular time. And my mother is in, my mother's 83. She's in the field 5 times a day.
Really?
Bobby and I are in there 3 times a day, and then we're in there at night with my heifers.
Look at you. You're all tan. You're healthy.
Yeah.
It must be.
It's a tractor tan.
That's all right. They call it a farmer tan, but you know, it must be a good life.
It is.
So do you ever get attached to them? Is it hard to send them off to their reward?
Not the calves, because the mamas you do, you know, because you know their mothers and you know their mothers. I've been doing this for 9 generations, right? So, I mean, that's really fabulous.
So by now you're hip to the fact that lamb stock is a melange of food and drinks and foodies. So it wasn't really surprising to find a beer there. And I'm telling you, it wasn't just any beer. It was Full Steam, which is a much ballyhooed craft beer out of Durham, North Carolina. And at the tap, we found a guy named Sean Lilly Wilson, who turned out to be the brewery's founder and self-proclaimed chief optimist. I guess if you're making a lot of money selling beer, you would be optimistic. So we asked him how he got into the beer biz.
I come into the business not as a lot of people do, as a home brewer, but instead as a grassroots activist for craft beer in North Carolina. About a decade ago, I led an effort called Pop the Cap, which was a grassroots movement to lift the then 6% alcohol cap on beer in North Carolina, which kept a third of the world's beer styles from being sold or brewed in the state.
But was that before you were brewing beers? Or
yep.
Okay, so
I didn't think I was starting a brewery. I just was a craft beer enthusiast. I hated this law. I thought it was stupid because it was a stupid law. It was, you know, the origin of it was that, as research best indicated, we found out that it's basically mill owners were lobbying to make beer lower alcohol because they were worried that workers would show up to drunk work on Mondays. So 70 years later, the law still existed, but it was time to change it.
Now you got lawyers showing up cranked and
no comment, right?
How did you go from being a lobbyist to being a brewer?
Well, so I would say I was a grassroots activist, so and then an owner of a brewery. We hired a lobbyist to kind of do that hard work, and I helped raise the money with a bunch of other people to get that job done. But to answer your question, I just love craft beer. I didn't want to do anything else. I'm good with beer. It's what I'm meant to do in life.
The Lambstockers were lined up 10 deep at the two beer taps and ooing and aahing as they sipped away. We asked Sean what gave Full Steam its special flavor.
We're a three-year-old brewery that's been at it for about 5 or 6 years, and this is actually our fourth Lambstock. We've been here every single year, and what we're known for and the reason that we get to these kind of opportunities is that we make Southern-style beer that is food friendly. So we use either local ingredients or farm and food traditions of the South to kind of shape and influence our beers. We want to build what I call a Southern beer economy using local ingredients, supporting local farmers, and encouraging agricultural entrepreneurship and as we make beer. So like, what does that mean? We make a beer called Carver, sweet potato lager. A third of the base fermentables is North Carolina sweet potatoes. We have a cream ale that uses North Carolina six-row barley and North Carolina corn. We work with persimmons, scuppernong grapes, figs, chestnuts, oats, honey. I mean, the list goes on and on.
But are they all saisons that you're doing, or are those all over
stylistically? That's okay. A good question. So yes, our summer basil farmhouse ale, which has North Carolina wheat and North Carolina basil, is in that saison farmhousey style, but we'll do a Paul Paul Belgian triple, or we'll do a rye IPA with local rye.
All right, let's stop. Let's explain, because some of our listeners may not know what a saison is or an IPA is. Give us the rundown.
Sure. So a saison is a French or Belgian farmhouse style ale. Tends to be a little bit higher carbonation, very food friendly, straw colored. Some can have a little bit of a barnyard funk to it or a little bit of horsiness to it, but in general, a refreshing.
You mean smell like a horse?
Yeah, a little bit. Even though we're at Lambstock, but it actually, maybe it's the power of suggestion, but it has a little barnyard funk to it, some more than others. And then, of course, IPA, India Pale Ale. I mean, there's as much variety in the world of beer as there is in wine. We have our own categories and styles, and our beers range from all levels of alcohol to all different colors.
All right, so why Lambstock? Why come here? I mean, I get, the fun of it, and it is fun, but what does that do for your business? How does that drive revenue for you?
Well, I mean, I don't do this to directly drive revenue. It's all about relationships and a shared kind of community experience. So I'm stumbling a little bit on the question because I don't ever think of this as a return on investment type thing or pure fun. It's the right thing to do for us.
Well, you're meeting chefs from all over the country, and they're mixologists here. I met one from Philly, and I met one from Louisville, and so that can't hurt either.
It certainly does help to have one of the top chefs in D.C. say, we're looking forward to serving your beer. That's not why we do it. We do it because it's a great opportunity to come together with people that have a shared vision to eat and drink and commune and celebrate together. But yeah, there are definitely side benefits that come from it. They keep us coming back. We've been here, you know, we actually were at the very first lamb stock a week after we opened. So we opened our brewery, and a week later, we were invited to come up and serve beer, and we haven't looked back.
Well, let me ask you one other question. Can people buy your beer in the D.C. metro area? Are you available in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C.?
Just in D.C. proper, because it's like the Wild West up there, and we self-distribute to a few accounts. So you can find us at Birch and Barley / Church Key, at Range. When America Eats Tavern was open, Jose Andreas's restaurant, that was our first non-North Carolina account. And when you get an email from Jose Andreas's group saying we'd like to carry your beer, you know you're onto something.
So now that you've heard all about Full Steam Beer, you're probably wondering, hey, can we get it up here? You can in D.C., and it is available at Birch and Barley and Range in Chevy Chase.
They've got 549 other beers.
Right, exactly, but you should definitely try one of the Full Steams. So we're coming back. We're talking more lamb at Lambstock. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Signs, so subtle we may not notice them. Signs like loss of interest in activities. Signs like insomnia, fatigue, or withdrawing from friends.
Hey, dear, we come play cards with us.
Even talking about wanting to die. These are signs of depression.
Hi, my name is Smitty. My husband, Congressman Jerry Connolly, and I urge you to take signs of depression seriously. Let your loved one know you care, then seek help from a doctor or mental health professional.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The third annual Defense and Security Mobile Symposium is November 22nd at the Capitol Hilton. Brought to you by AFSCIA DC, this year's theme is Beyond PIM, the business case for mobile as the next platform for innovation, transformation, productivity, and the mission. It will explore the need, use cases, and leaps forward that are possible with mobile. With leaders from DISA, NSA, DOD, DHS, the IC, and the major services, plus a competition for companies to present their mobile technologies. To register, visit afsciadc.org/mobile.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
So you take the mouse and click over there, and then you can choose someone you want to call.
My niece. I click here?
Uh-huh.
This is Louisa. Recently, she got help going online to chat with her family back home.
Okay, so then you want to hit that green button.
This is her first time on the internet and her first time seeing her niece in 5 years. Louisa doesn't know what to expect.
Louisa? Oh my gosh. There she is. This is amazing. It's so good to see you. You look so pretty.
But this is definitely way beyond.
Oh my gosh.
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. That's 1-855-387-9166.
I've missed you. Oh, me too.
Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew,
pew. Wait.
Mom, what?
What?
Hold on. What'd you say?
Wait a second, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood. You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get into more lamb stock stuff, I just want to thank the folks that make this show possible. Our friends at the Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key, and soon Blue Jacket down near the stadium. Our friends at the Two Founding Farmers and Farmers, Fishers, and Bakers down at the Georgetown Harbor, Union Market, Black's Restaurant Group, Early Mountain Vineyard, Carpenter Shelter, American Land Board, and Virginia Wine Board, all friends of the show.
Mm-hmm. So now if you've been down to Union Market, you know that Rappahannock River Oysters has an always jammed one of my favorite little restaurants.
It's a sweet little place.
It is. It's so great. And one of their premier dishes is lambs and clams.
Lambs und clams.
Oh, my God. So yummy. So they're clams and what else? Craig Rogers, Border Springs lamb.
Yummy. So Rappahannock's Travis Croxton was at Lambstock, believe it or not, shucking just buku oysters. It was kind of weird, but oysters
no, it wasn't.
In there, but
it was
there
perfect.
They were. And so we pulled him away from his oysters for 2 minutes to chat.
Craig and I go back a few years or so. We have a little partnership called Lambs and Clams. So anytime we can support him, we want to. So in addition to hanging out with all of our chef friends who are here from all over the country, hopefully late night we'll do some fried oysters and tomorrow some raw oysters and help break out the monotony of just lamb.
Well, let's back up a bit. Tell me a little bit about Lambs and Clams.
So Lambs and Clams is kind of a Border Springs combined with Rappahannock River oysters. And we put on after parties at special events or food and wine festivals. And just the synergies that we have with our clientele, customer base, or chefs that we work with. Just we reach more ground that way, and just the pairing of it's just pretty cool. And it's even inspired the dish that you eat at Union Market, right? The lambs and clams.
So is it? But I was just going to ask: is it always that dish, or are you doing multiple things? Like, are you just serving lots of
right.
different oysters? Like, tell me what lambs and clams means in the bigger picture.
So smaller picture. Each restaurant serves a variation of that dish that you have, but the bigger picture is it's just us putting on festivals with our friends. So like, say we do like the Charleston After Party, we'll invite 6 to 8 chefs that we know all over the country and want to like showcase them, and they'll do their own takes on either a lamb dish or an oyster dish or a clam dish, or some will even mix them up and combine them.
Okay, great.
So it's just we just like showcase our clients that we have, and maybe some of that haven't had the national exposure yet. We want to help them get that, and it just and we just like to drink together too. So
well, so how did you and Craig hook up? I mean, you seem like unlikely partners.
We are. We're both a little bit overweight, so that helps. So, but we did not.
Are you fishing? Now it sounds like you're fishing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So actually, we met at a charity event that Brian Voltaggio had 3 years ago at Volt. Craig was actually doing lamb on a spit. We were there shucking oysters. Flying Dog was in the house doing their own beer, and we just hit it off. So as small farmers. With their own businesses, we just kept talking to each other and just talking over air issues we had or logistics and things like that. Just struck up a deep friendship. So now we support each other as much as we can.
Now tell me just quickly about some of these restaurants that you're doing in the D.C. area, because you've got a lot going on in D.C.
Yeah, so the main ones at Union Market, Rappahannock Oyster Bar, the chef there, Kevin Kelly, is doing phenomenal dishes now. It's they change up half the menu each week. So the staples are always there, the crab cake that we have, lambs and clams that we do, oysters, of course, but they have freedom.